Welcome back. It is the Burns and Gambo show. Dave Burns out today, so I'm Luke Lipinski in for Dave Burns. Gambo is here, though, and so, Gambo, I want to get your thoughts on some of this going on with the Cardinals. You got to get down to a 53-man roster by tomorrow afternoon. It's obviously a little bit different when you only had two preseason games, especially when you at least thought you were going to have three preseason games. We talked about this earlier, and we'll get back into it later. Keyshawn Johnson, one of the initial names that has been officially released, but there are a lot of other names trickling out that, like,
okay,
there hasn't been an official press release.
Let's talk about the cuts that we know of and the cuts that we're expecting.
The ones that it sounds like Chris Banjo, and it sounds like, well, let's start with Banjo.
Okay, let's start with Banjo. That would be very surprising if he's cut. There's got to be some reason. I don't know what it is. And I don't know, but Chris Banjo is a guy that I know that they like. He's a really good special teams player, really good special teams player. You know, heart and soul type of guy. So, you know, he's an older player, been in a league for a long time. Again, a really good special teams guy. So that one would be really surprising. Really surprising if Chris Banjo is a guy that's cut. We'll see what's going to happen there, but I would just say there's got to be something to that story because I just don't know. I thought that he always really liked Chris Banjo.
Yeah, and he played a role on this team, too. Yeah, certainly. That's the one name that jumped out more than any of them. I mean, Keyshawn Johnson's name jumped out earlier just because I think a lot of people assumed maybe he had even passed Andy Isabella, and instead he has. He's not. He's not even on the team. Cliff Kingsbury he was asked today how much interest the Cardinals would have in bringing some of these guys back.
Quite a few. Yeah. I mean, we like a lot of the guys. It was tough decisions. And so there's ongoing conversations with a lot of those guys released.
Now, that quite a few is in reference to bringing them back as part of the practice squad.
Let me just say this with Banjo. Career high 48 tackles last season.
Yeah.
And then he got a chance to play because they had a lot of injuries in the backfield. He got a chance to play. But, I mean, that's a key member of your special teams unit. And he had 48 tackles last year. So, again, the reports out there that Banjo got cut, Andrea Bacalea got cut, Shaq Calhoun, Tavian Feaster, Keyshawn Johnson, Josh Morrow, Michael Minette, Cam Murray, Picasso Nelson, A.J. Richardson, Evan Weaver, the Cal linebacker, Jace Whitaker, Ryan Winslow, and Bryson Young. Those are the reports of the guys. Now, so the thing on Banjo, again, that one is very, very surprising. And again, we'll have to see what's going on with that because I really believe that's a player that they like and they want it back. So I don't know what the story is, but we'll try to find out. As far as Wiggins is concerned, there's two players that were on there that were drafted by the Cardinals this year that got cut. James Wiggins, the safety out of Cincinnati, was the 243rd pick overall in the seventh round. And then Michael Minette, the offensive lineman from Penn State, he was the 247th pick overall, also seventh round. So they cut both seven-round picks. I'm going to say I expect Wiggins to be a practice squad guy.
Okay.
So I would expect that Wiggins will be a guy. It's safety, it's kind of a position of need. They could use the depth there. So I would think Wiggins ends up on the practice squad. Offensive line, they seem to have a lot of depth there, so I don't know about Michael Minette. But I would say that James Wiggins is a guy you could probably pencil in for the practice squad.
Yeah, that would make sense because safety, like you just said, is a position where it's, you know, the guys you're starting on Sunday against Tennessee, you're happy with those guys. I mean, you're led by Buda Baker, but in terms of depth at that position throughout just the organization, you're a little thin. Now, as far as Michael Minette, this is Cliff Kingsbury again.
We want to do what's best for the organization, no question. And Michael came in, did a nice job. Once again, we feel like that's a deep offensive line room, and it just made it tough.
So there you go. I mean, that's what you just said. You're deep at that position.
Yeah, he's a late seventh round pick. Like, you know, it's to make the team is not easy as a seventh round pick. Doesn't matter how good he was at Penn State, how good he was in the Big Ten. This is a completely different animal. Now, whether he could be practice squad or not, not sure. Try to find out. But they're pretty deep. They're pretty deep at offensive linemen, so they may not need him at all.
Well, you know that Steve Keim is, I'm sure he's getting some criticism from Cardinals fans right now that are saying, like, okay, you just drafted these guys
seventh round.
But that's
the seventh
thing.
Round.
243rd and 247th.
Yeah,
those guys are not expected to make the
team. Just stupid to, like, criticize a seventh round. Seventh round picks don't usually make the NFL. A lot of them don't make the NFL. If they do it, they make it for a year or two. I mean, how many seventh round picks last in the NFL? It's very difficult. I mean, very, very difficult. Again, I think Wiggins has a chance to be on the practice squad. Minette, I'm not really sure about, but I'll try to find out. The banjo one is the, outside of Keyshawn Johnson, the banjo one is the one you say, okay, that, you know, that just doesn't add up. He was really good. He's a veteran player. He's a leader on that special team squad. So we'll try to find out how that happens. A lot of the other names, guys that were just brought in, you know, camp bodies that were just brought in that you totally expect they're going to get cut.
Yeah.
Evan Weaver was a draft pick for them last year, a kid out of Cal. Hard. Like I said, it's hard when you're drafted that late, like where Evan Weaver was drafted. It's hard to, because I think he was a seventh round pick too, right?
Weaver, I
think,
I think he was. I'll double check that.
He was sixth round pick. Yeah, sixth and seventh round picks, man, there's no guarantee you're going to play in
this
league
for a long time.
Well,
those are basically, those are guys you're just throwing in there at camp, and if they can flash, like, you know, Benjamin, you know, his seventh round pick last year, it seems like he's going to carve out a role here potentially.
Look, but first and second round picks you expect to play. Yeah. Third round picks you expect to be depth guys that get a chance to play, depth guys. Fourth and fifth round picks, you're hoping for special teams players and guys that can be backups and special teams players. Sixth and seventh round picks are crapshoots. Take a chance on a guy that was injured. You take a chance on a guy you like. Sixth and seventh round picks, hard for those guys to last in the NFL. I mean, there's usually 240 players taken before they're taken.
Yeah. Those top three guys, though, the first, second, and fourth round picks this year, Zaven Collins, Rondale Moore, and Marco Wilson in the fourth, they seem pretty happy with those guys. I know it's early. I know we haven't even seen a regular season game. We've only seen two preseason games. But if those three guys stick out of this draft and Collins is like the guy that they envision him to be and Moore is an impact player and Wilson, even if Wilson's just a good, solid depth corner.
They like Marco Wilson a lot.
If you come out of this draft with those three guys, that's a good draft.
Yeah. Jace Whitaker was another name that I think people were familiar with. And Jace Whitaker is on this list of guys that have gotten cut as well. So we'll see. I mean, he's a cornerback, so you cut a corner, you cut a safety. It's, you know, it's positions of need for the Cardinals. But if those guys didn't cut it, and the other thing is, you know that they're going to be looking around at these other rosters. They're going to be like Keyshawn Johnson. I expect somebody's going to pick him up. I expect some team that doesn't have great wide receiver depth
to
pick up Keyshawn Johnson. Has he been picked up already?
No, I'm just saying Detroit. They don't have any receivers.
So. Well, they just cut Breshad Perriman.
Yeah.
So yeah, they could be looking at a guy like Keyshawn Johnson. Cardinals are going to do the same thing. I would think Whitaker. So here's what I'm expecting: Jace Whitaker, practice squad. I think Wiggins. And Wiggins practice squad, Whitaker practice squad.
Okay.
So if you want to write that down, that's what I think is going to happen. I think Wiggins and Whitaker practice squad. Banjo, I don't know, man. We got to get to the bottom of that Banjo thing. That one doesn't add up to me. That just doesn't add up. He was one of your best special teams players. So got to find out what happened there. But yeah, Whitaker practice squad, Wiggins practice squad. I don't know about Minette, the late pick out of Penn State. Don't know if he would make practice squad or not. But I would put those two guys I just mentioned, I would put those guys on. I would expect those guys to be on the practice squad.
Yeah, and like you said, Banjo's the name out of all those that's just like, wait a minute, that feels like an NFL player. Whereas these other guys are still kind of trying to prove their way or carve their path in this league. So we'll see on that one. Text Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host, special guest for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we'll be giving away college football tickets. So text Sparky to 620-620. When we come back, Cardinals offensive line might be a strength this season, should be a strength. And we'll hear from DJ Humphreys and his thoughts on that unit next. It is the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, Gambo, we've gotten to this point. And it's taken a few years to get here. And I don't know it's a combination of adding Kugler and, you know, getting a guy like Rodney Hudson and DJ Humphreys evolving. But I'm at the point where I expect this offensive line to be one of the best in the NFL. At least.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not saying like one or two, but I'm saying top quarter of the league, let's say. Let's say look back at the end of the year, assuming they stay healthy. I'm hoping this offensive line should be in that top eight. And I'm kind of confident in it. I mean, they've got depth. Injuries aside, you can't do anything about that. But the lineup they've put together and Kugler, I mean, his role on this team continues to increase for good reason, I think.
Pro Football Focus did a thing on the offensive line rankings not too long ago. They had the Cardinals 11th.
Mm, okay.
So they had, I mean, you're right on the verge of top 10. That's pretty good. So you're in the, right, basically you're upper third. You're right, you're right around the upper third. Cleveland 1, Colts 2, Patriots 3, Saints 4, Bucks 5, Cowboys 6, Chiefs 7, Rams 8, 49ers 9, Lions 10, and then Cardinals 11. So they talk about the unit is that the unit has two top 10 rankings in Pro Football Focus's pass blocking grade, but two bottom 10 rankings in run blocking grade. Now, so two really good in pass blocking and then two lower ones in run blocking. The thing that's going to make the biggest difference is the addition of Rodney Hudson. I mean, it was an absolute steal by Steve Keim to get Rodney Hudson. I mean, you've got one of the best offensive centers in the entire game. And what'd you give up? A third round pick?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
that was
unreal.
That was a great DJ Humphreys is really good. He's one of the solid tackles in the league. He's actually good at run blocking. He's got a good run blocking grade. Justin Pugh, solid player, good veteran player, could, you know, to me, good in both. I do think Josh Jones, and I've said this before, I think Josh Jones will win the right guard job over Winters and Murray. Justin Murray's pretty good. I think he's going to be a great backup. But center is where you've improved the most. Mason Cole was terrible. Just terrible. And now you bring in perhaps the league's best pass-protecting center in Rodney Hudson. I mean, this guy is an absolute beast of a player. He doesn't allow pressures, let alone sacks. So he's really going to help this team. So I agree with you. I think that this offensive line, I don't know if they're the top five best. I think they're probably a top 10 unit in this league.
That's, and look, if they are the ninth best, I'm fine with that. But I really am hopeful they can be one of the top eight just because it's the top quarter of the league. But either way, it is such progress from where they were a couple years ago.
Sure.
And the Hudson addition, I mean, if you take a second to stop and think about it, this is two off seasons in a row where the Cardinals were able to add a guy that you're not supposed to be able to add.
Yeah, with Hopkins and yeah. Now Rodney Hudson.
And they were both in positions in need. I mean, when they added DeAndre Hopkins, it was like, we got to find a receiver to be the eventual heir apparent to Larry Fitzgerald. And obviously Hopkins is one of the best in the league, so problem solved there. Now you go out there and get Rodney Hudson for a pick. I mean, big deal. It's not a first-round pick, so I don't care. And even if it was a first-round pick.
So what?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got this guy. You've got this guy for a while now. I think you got him signed up for a few years. Again, I mean, he's one of the best. It was a position of need. It was a position that they absolutely had to get better at. Because you were good when you had A.Q. Shipley. You know, but then when when A.Q. Shipley lost and you decided to turn it over to Mason Cole, you're like, okay. Now, they went really, really hard after Corey Linsley.
Yeah.
Really hard after him. So that was like they really wanted to get Corey Linsley, and they weren't able to get him in free agency. And then all of a sudden, Rodney Hudson falls in your lap. And I think that they were doing cartwheels at Cardinals, the facility, when they knew they could get Rodney Hudson. Now, they had some competition because Kansas City wanted him. But you go after Corey Linsley really hard. He signs with the Chargers. And you're saying, I got to upgrade this position because Mason Cole was just so bad. Mason Cole was a disaster. And now you get Rodney Hudson. I mean, that's a Christmas gift for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Well, to get a player like that.
And the fact that, I mean, the Chiefs were lining up to try and get him. You said the Chiefs on that Pro Football Focus list, right? They had the Chiefs ahead of the Cardinals.
Chiefs ahead of the Cardinals.
And maybe they will be, but, I mean, that offensive line is completely revamped. At least the Cardinals, for the most part, it's pretty consistent from last year, other than the center. But, I mean, it's a pretty clear upgrade. DJ Humphreys, who always has something to say, was asked about the offensive line and if he feels like they're getting enough, if they're generating enough buzz.
This is the first time in a while I haven't heard it, but I think it's something that I kind of always carry in the back of my mind. We got to make sure we're the group that's not the reason why this thing's rolling. So I feel like at this point we've kind of created that as our mentality. Like, we're going out here putting our best foot forward in everything, every drill, every rep, to make sure we prepare it to when we go out there in that game, we're the reason why it's going versus the reason why it's not.
I mean, his evolution is a huge part of this, too. Because a couple years ago, you were wondering, like, okay, is DJ Humphreys kind of topped out? Is this as good as he's going to be?
No,
and he's gotten a lot better.
He is a solid left tackle, man. You can win with him. He's a good pass blocker. He's a good run blocker. He's a good leader. Solid player. Like, you don't have to – it's nice to not have to worry about that position.
Yeah.
Because that is such an important position on your offensive line, and to not have to worry about that because you've got a guy and, you know, you got him on a great contract. They really got him on a great contract. They got Buda on a great contract. Like, they've really done a good job. This doesn't get talked about a whole lot. They've done a good job of locking some of their guys up at the right time before the market dictated that they're worth more than what you signed them for.
Mm-hmm.
I think DJ Humphries is one of them. I think Boot is another one. I think they did a really good job with that. So I think they're solid. I mean, I can't wait to see Josh Jones. I expect that he's going to win the right guard job over Winters and Murray, and I think he's going to play, and he's fantastic, and he could play tackle, he could play guard. But you're right. I mean, this offensive line, if you're Kyler Murray, you should have plenty of protection. Running, should be able to open up big holes for the running game, should be able to pass protect to give him the time he needs to go through reads and progressions. And if this is a top, would you say, quarter, if they get in the top eight?
That's my hope, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that could go a long way towards this team winning a lot of football games.
Well, especially because, like, I mean, I understand, like, we always look at running backs and receivers or, like, whoever's getting sacks on defense, but when you just talk to people in the NFL and people that are building NFL teams, they will tell you almost unanimously that you need a quarterback and a left tackle. And the Cardinals have that. You know, I mean, you need the other pieces, too. It's a lot of guys on a football team, but that's really where your offense starts, is your quarterback and your tackle that's protecting his blind side.
Yeah, I don't think DJ Humphries is going down as like Orlando Pace or anything
that.
But I think that
he's reliable now.
You've got a good, reliable left tackle. I mean, more than three-quarters of the teams in the league would like to have DJ Humphries as their starting left tackle.
Yeah.
There's not many teams in the league that could say, I got a better left tackle than DJ Humphries. He's a solid, reliable guy.
That's
come a long way.
That is one of the main reasons why the Cardinals, to me, need to be a playoff team. You've got a quarterback, whether you think he's a top 10 quarterback or a top 15, whatever, Kyler Murray. He's a good quarterback, and he should still be getting better. You've got a quarterback and a left tackle that you should be able to rely on. Most teams don't have both of them. You know, like you just said, three-quarters of the league would love to have DJ Humphries. And I don't know, what, three-quarters of the league would love to have Kyler Murray? So how many teams in the league would love to have both of them? You know what I mean?
I mean, you think of, you know, Walter Jones and Jonathan Ogden and Anthony Munoz and Orlando Pace. You start to think about the great tackles that have played. You know, I don't know that DJ Humphries is, you know, he's not on that list, but he's just solid.
Those guys are all Hall of Famers, though.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
I mean, God. Jordan, who was the Cardinals left tackle when they went to the Super Bowl? Was it Mike Gandy?
Ooh, man.
Who was the Cardinals? Were they?
I'll have to look that one up.
Some trivia.
I think it was Mike. Is that the right name? Yeah, I think it was Mike Gandy. I think he was their starting left tackle the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Like, he was just, he was good. Like, he wasn't great. He was good.
You're right.
Is that Mike the guy? Gandy. Right, he was, like, nobody's, like, people don't even remember him. He was solid. Like, he did a good job. Like, he wasn't a Hall of Famer. He wasn't, well, like, he was good. Yeah, he was a solid left tackle. I remember him well. Like, he was, you didn't have a problem. It wasn't like he was going to be your answer forever. I think he, you know, he was with the Cardinals for a few years, but he was a solid player.
I'll never question your Mike Gandy knowledge again. You had that chambered and ready to go.
Man, I did not have it chambered and ready to go. It just kind of came up. They didn't have the year they went to the Super Bowl, they didn't have this great left tackle, but they had a good left tackle. You know what you can't be at that position? Can't be bad.
Can't be bad. It's very obvious if you're bad.
You could great is rare. Good? You have a good left? You're fine. Yeah. You're fine. You just can't have a bad left tackle.
And we've seen that.
We've seen plenty of that.
This is more from DJ Humphries talking about Justin Pugh.
Yeah, I've been talking to him pretty much every day. You know, that's my guy. That's my guy there. He should be back with us soon, so I'm excited to have him back. We've been missing our glue guy in the room. That's what we call him, the glue guy. We've been missing him in our room, man. He keeps us all... I thought I gave a lot of juice to the room, and I think I do, but Justin is definitely a kickstart for sure.
those guys are close. I walked in with those guys to one of the Suns games, playoff games.
Nice, okay.
And they were there going to the game together, hanging out. Like, it's a tight-knit group. The offensive line group is very tight-knit, very close. You want that continuity. You want guys that have played together for now. I mean, think about how many years Justin Pugh and DJ Humphries have played together.
Yeah.
You know, that helps. That left side, it's not just the one guy, but when both guys have played together, you know each other real well. You get to communicate real well. They're locked down on that left side.
That's the thing about the Chiefs. I mean, they have some talent, but they revamped their whole offensive line. They got Patrick Mahomes, so it probably doesn't matter. Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. When we come back, ASU football starts officially this Thursday. We'll get into some of our expectations and some news around the team. That's next. It's the Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, Gambo, it is officially here. ASU football starts in...
Let's go!
76-ish hours?
Thursday!
I'm so ready for this.
You know, me too. Me too. Just wish they would take it on NAU. When's Arizona play NAU?
I think that's the 3 weeks from
three
now?
3 weeks, yeah. I think
is
I saw
the 18th?
I think I saw a Jed Fish tweet tomorrow. Or today.
You saw a Jed Fish tweet tomorrow?
No, yesterday.
That's impressive.
That would have been impressive.
Ooh. If
I was able to look into the future and
just read tweets from the future.
Read tweets from the future.
That's so Gambo.
Let me tell you what somebody's going to tweet tomorrow. You're going to love this.
What's the tweet that you saw? I thought
there was a monkey with crazy eyes.
What?
That's from the future or that's the one from yesterday?
No, I think it was from today.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday. Unless I dreamt it.
I mean, in the past, you have jumped on other people's Twitter accounts here and tweeted stuff out, so you have known what was going to be tweeted out.
It's true. Mm. It says 5 sleeps until game day or at least 5 nights, and then some kind of, I don't think it's a monkey, but I don't know what that is. Yeah, they've got BYU in Las Vegas this weekend, and then San Diego State in Tucson next weekend.
Okay. BYU, San Diego State,
and then
NAU.
I think NAU.
Then they get the gimme against the layup.
Otherwise known as the Murderer's Row.
First of all, nothing is a gimme for Arizona football this year, so please don't put that out there.
Oh, stop. They're going to hammer
Keep
the Lumberjacks.
Providing that bulletin board material for the Lumberjacks.
Nothing is a gimme.
I think you and Jordan should have a big bet on this game.
Oh, gosh.
I think you should.
You've got 2 weeks.
It makes me so sad that this is even a big game to talk about.
Well, and I always like how when people are like, oh, make a bet on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it's like, well, then I need points. I mean,
why?
Why? It would be like if your daughter's D1 team, when she played soccer, played a D3 school. I mean, it's not fair before they even start the game.
They were just voted one of the worst teams in the Power 5 this year. Was that Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, they're really not they're kind of like not even a D1 program this year.
Dang.
In some ways.
I can't wait to see what Jed Fish tweets tomorrow.
They might not win a Pac-12 game. Like, I think he's doing a great job. His recruiting has been unbelievable. Yeah. I've said this. He's getting some really good 4-star players. He's doing a good job. In the meantime, Arizona State, they keep losing 4-star players.
Yeah, that's so do I just read into this that this is Alphonso Allen playing his playing the field because he's got offers from like Clemson and Alabama, or do I need to read into this that this is going to be happening a lot while ASU is being
investigated? It's a major loss. I mean, he's a 4-star safety out of Miami, committed to ASU in March. Then this weekend, we got word down that he's reopening his recruitment. He said he wanted to thank the Sun Devil family in his Twitter post. Thank him for what? You never played here. Said, I appreciate all the love and support. Thank you for welcoming me with open arms. Respect my decision. All love, Arizona State. Number 301 overall prospect, number 21 safety in the 2022 class. And he is the second 4-star player to leave. I think Jalen Marshall, 4-star defensive back out of Florida, he pledged to ASU, and now he's enrolled at Miami Central. So he's opened up his recruitment as well. He reopened his recruitment in late July. So those are two players recruited to the Sun Devils by one of the coaches that has been placed on the administrative leave.
Yeah, this is really raining on my excitement for Thursday's game against Southern Utah.
No, I don't think that this like nothing against Alphonso Allen or Jalen Marshall. They weren't playing in this game on Thursday night.
No,
I mean, I think there's a lot of eggs in the basket. I think ASU's going to have a great season. I think they're going to win the Pac-12 South. I think they're going to play for the Pac-12 championship. I really do think that they're loaded, especially on defense. I question the wide receivers because I don't know if there's great talent there or not. I just don't know. I love the two running backs and the quarterback, and they got Zendejas back. So the former Sun Devil kicker, Christian Zendejas, he was in the transfer portal. He's returning to Arizona State, right? Michael Turk departed, and now Zendejas is back. So I think that this year is going to be great. I think what sucks for ASU, and I don't know if we had a poll question on this not too long ago. How soon is Arizona going to overtake Arizona State as the dominant program in this state? Is it 1 year? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 or more?
Because
don't say
of the investigation?
Never. Yeah, the investigation. If you start losing 4-star recruits, all of a sudden you've got a bunch of seniors on your defense. You're going to lose them all this year. So you're going to come back next year. You're going to be a very inexperienced team next year. Yeah.
You're losing your a lot of your top recruits, so now your recruiting class, they've only got five kids committed from the for this next class.
We're going to have to try out for the team in 2022.
I've got eligibility because I never went to college.
Okay.
I could give them three good plays a game.
What position?
Safety.
Good, because they need a safety because they just had one decommit. That's perfect.
Fewest in the Pac-12. The five commits in the 2022 class. Fewest in the Pac-12. Two four-star prospects are gone. Like, and then Arizona, they're getting all these top, they're getting good prospects. Like, this guy's done, just Jed Fish has done a good job. So, for this year and this year only, ASU is going to, they're going to kick ass. They're going to be the dominant program in the state. They might be one of the one or two best programs in the Pac-12. They have a very good chance to win the Pac-12, in my opinion. Now, after this year, like, you could see, like, can you not see the momentum shifting a little bit? Can you not see it changing?
Yeah, I mean, last year was the year I was waiting for. Even in 2019, when they started off strong, it was like, okay, but that defense is going to be experienced in 2020, and Jaden Daniels isn't going to be a freshman, and you're going to have, like, a team. And then, obviously, last year they didn't really get to play. So this year, 100%, I'm going to be disappointed if this team doesn't win the Pac-12 South. Not like I think it's a given. USC's good. I think UCLA could be decent. Like, that's not a given, but that's my expectation for them this year. And it was going to be my expectation for them last year, was to win the Pac-12 South. Like you said, with the receivers, that's kind of your I wouldn't even say your weak point. It's just sort of an unknown. Like, I like Ricky Pearsall. I like LV Bunkley Shelton, but Shelton, he hasn't really played much. So if you get anything out of your receivers with Jaden Daniels and those running backs and that defense.
I think Bunkley Shelton's the guy. What do you have, 11? I think he had 11 catches last year. I think he's their leading receiver coming back.
Well,
no, that's why they just don't have it. I think 11 catches is the most they've got coming back. And then you're like, you know, Arizona, like this is from earlier this month. Arizona lands four-star legacy tight end Kenyon Burnett, flips him from USC. Guy's a beast, right? He's 6'5", 215. They added another. They added... You just start looking at a three-star recruit. They landed another four-star recruit out of the Bay Area, Zeke Berry, cornerback, Zeke Berry. So Jed Fish is really doing a good job. He's a star defensive back at a De La Salle High School in Concord, California, committed to UA over Oregon, Cal, Oregon State, UCLA, Arizona State, Tennessee, Minnesota, Louisville. So, first four-star prospect to commit to Arizona since wide receiver Boobie Curry in 2019.
He's doing a good job, but that was scorched earth. So, I would hope that's still a few years away.
It is, but you could just... I'm asking, is the tide changing? Like, is...
Well, the tide's changing because ASU's being investigated.
And
so
when you're being investigated,
door.
Are they losing kids because they're being investigated?
It seems like it. Again,
they've got five recruits for next year's class right now. Five. Now,
it's not great.
No, but and maybe they'll rebound, but they've lost two top kids from their class.
Well, there's just uncertainty now. Whereas if you had asked that question 6 months ago, it would have been like, U of A is a mess. ASU just beat them 70-7. And in ASU, the bigger thing is ASU seemed to be locked into a really good path. And so even if U of A is going to get better and Jed Fish is going to do this, ASU should have been locked in. Now you have
and
all this uncertainty.
Mattered.
Yeah.
Now you felt like... that, didn't you? With just a succession plan. You go from Herm to Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
But I don't, like I said, I will bring this stuff up when it happens. Arizona State lost a major recruit. But the key thing is, like, this season. This season is of the utmost importance. They have a chance to win the whole Pac-12 this year.
They are very good
on paper. They are very good. The wide receivers are a question mark. The two running backs are great. The quarterback's great. The defense is going to be fantastic. Like, they're loaded defensively. So that's why there's a lot at stake for Arizona State to have a good year this year.
Road games are at Utah and Washington. That's a little bit tough, but still, no excuses at this point.
Nope. Utah will be very good this year, too. That'll be a tough game.
All right, coming up, Deshaun Watson trade talks are heating up again. It seems like there are two front runners if he does actually get traded. We'll discuss it next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, we could almost just do 4 hours of random football news.
There's so much.
It's just, and to be expected. There's
so much. Right? I like the Deshaun Watson news, but go ahead.
Well, no, let's start with Deshaun Watson because there are two teams that seem to be back at the forefront of the race here. If he's going to be traded, it seems like it would be to either Miami or Carolina.
There's reports coming out today that the Texans are prepared to have Deshaun Watson on the 53-man roster, inactive every week, and pay him $10.54 million in salary. So that is, I mean, it's even a story up. Will Houston really pay Deshaun Watson $10 million not to play at all? Look, maybe they'll do it. It's, you don't want to give the guy away. They've said that they've wanted three first-round draft picks and in a couple of seconds.
Not getting that.
I don't know what they're going to get for him. I mean, this is one of the oddest things that I think before the off-field allegations, he was considered one of the five or so best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like forever ago, but yeah.
Yeah, he's not suspended. They haven't suspended the guy, but they're not playing him. He's not playing. It's like Trevor Bauer with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He hasn't pitched in forever. They keep I don't think he'll ever pitch for the Dodgers again. I think they just keep extending it. We're going to expand another week. They're just waiting for the season to be over. Okay. And then they'll never have to deal with Trevor Bauer again.
But this is even more complicated because you're talking about teams that were lining up to trade for him. I mean, because before all this came out, when you just thought, okay, Deshaun Watson, the football player, there at the time when there were no allegations, okay, three first-round picks in a couple seconds, that wasn't – it's a lot, but it's a proven NFL quarterback.
There's like, what, 22 allegations?
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is a mess.
There's no way to look past
this. This is a really messy situation. So this 2 weeks before they start the season, are they going to trade the guy? Is anybody – like, and all these other teams are like, okay – here's the thing. If you're Miami and you want to trade for him, what if you trade for him and he gets arrested? What if you trade for him and he goes to jail? What if you almost can't. Like, I would almost do a contingency deal. I'll trade you, and I'm going to wait a year. I'll give you three first-round picks starting in 2023.
Okay.
Not 6 months from now.
All right.
I'm not going to give you a pick in April. You're not getting any picks in April. If he gets to April and then he gets to the next April and he's not in jail and he's not arrested and he can play football for us, you get this many first round picks.
Yeah.
I would do that. I would do a contingency deal. Now, you don't know what you're getting. If he ends up, like, if these allegations are true and he ends up going to jail, you'll end up with three third round picks. Because that's what I'm willing. I'll give you three third round picks.
That might be what they have to do.
Or
honestly,
I'll just give you one first. You'll get one first round pick. But if you really want the three first rounders and two, I will give it to you under these conditions that he is our quarterback and he doesn't end up in jail.
I don't see how you do a deal right now that doesn't look like that. And specifically Miami. This is Brian Flores.
Look, I mean, we have a high standard for the people we have in the organization, so. I don't get into last strikes or anything. We just, you know, we want the people with high character.
High character. He's got 22 lawsuits alleging sexual misconduct pending. 10 women have filed criminal complaints against him. So, like, I'd be careful what you say. Just in case you guys trade for him.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem like high character. That's going to come back to haunt you. Look, Miami specifically was a team that made a lot of sense before all of the legal stuff came out. When it was just like, hey, Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston, and this is a top five quarterback, and Miami had the pieces to trade
yes.
for him. But now you're talking about a team that is 10-6 that apparently believes in Tua. I mean, if you go out and trade for Deshaun Watson now, you potentially submarine your season coming up. The season starts in a week and a half for some teams. Starts in less than 2 weeks for everybody.
Chance to get one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Nothing against Tua. Tua may be, he may be okay. Deshaun Watson's one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
Yeah, but Miami's got something to lose. Whereas Carolina, I still feel like if they made the trade, what are they going to do anyway?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
They didn't pay him a ton of money. They could get out of that very quickly. They picked up his... I go back. I think they picked up like that option. So it's basically 2 years and 20-something million dollars. And if you get rid of him, you get rid of him. So he could be a backup.
Yeah.
So if you're Carolina and you get him, Sam Darnold could be a very expensive backup for 2 years. But you're not tied into him for 5 years or 6 years. It's not like, you know, you gave him the everything. I think they've only got Darnold for a couple of years on the books.
Yeah. I understand that we're talking about a guy that when he just plays as a top five quarterback on the field, I don't know how you can trade for him at this point, but specifically Miami, that's the team, they would have won the NFC East by 3 games last year. And that was without even really having a quarterback. last year. I mean, I guess he had Fitzpatrick for a little bit. But, like, Miami is a team now that, outside of quarterback, is pretty well built to be a playoff team. And you just drafted Tua early. Yes, if we were just looking in a vacuum, no legal troubles, no anything, who's a better quarterback, Deshaun Watson or Tua? It's not
even
close. No.
Yeah, it's not even a conversation.
But Tua or a guy that might be in jail, I'd rather have Tua.
But that's why I would say, like, listen, I mean, if you're asking, like, this new GM for the Texans, right, this new GM, you know, he can't make a bad trade. Like, you can't trade Deshaun Watson. Everything ends up okay. He wins a couple of Super Bowls, and you got Stugatz for him.
Yeah.
You got to make a good trade. But if I'm Miami or Carolina, I'm like, look, I'll give you what you want if this thing works out okay.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't work out okay, here's what you'll get. I'm willing to take this much of a risk. You can't be willing to risk 3 first-round draft picks in 2 seconds. You can't. It's too much of a risk.
No.
I mean, you're playing Russian roulette. You can't do it. So you've got to be like, I will risk this much, a first-round pick. And if he plays and nothing happens, I'll give you the 3 firsts and the 2 seconds and we'll be done.
It's almost like a protection in an NBA trade, right? Like, I'll trade you my first-round pick, but it's lottery protection.
Yes.
I'll trade you these 2 first-round picks, but they become third-round picks if this guy isn't playing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it makes sense to me.
It's probably what you have to do. This is Adam Schefter.
You have this GM, give me a call. I'll talk to him.
Well, I mean, their previous Houston's GM guy could have used some help from you. But here's Schefter was asked what options Houston has at this point.
The Houston Texans would be open to dealing him, but there's also a school of thought that they could wait and just hold him on the roster, keep him inactive this season, and decide to trade him after this season. But they seem to have to make some sort of decision about whether they're going to trade him or carry him on the roster here in the next 24 hours, with teams having to have their rosters at 53 players by the time we get to 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday.
All right, so that's Deshaun Watson. We got to talk about Josh Rosen, a week ago was, like, trying out for Atlanta and now might be their second-string quarterback.
He apparently, the evaluation of him, he got a half in. He was 9 of 18 for 118 yards. He threw the only touchdown pass of the preseason for the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, they're asking that question. Did he do enough to make that roster? And based on the way he played, he might have just made that roster. Josh Rosen may be Atlanta's backup quarterback.
It seems ridiculous on the surface, but when you look at who Atlanta has, they have Felipe Franks is their current backup quarterback, undrafted rookie out of Arkansas. And then obviously AJ McCarron is hurt. So it doesn't take a whole lot to be Atlanta's second string quarterback right now. And Rosen may have just done it in one half of preseason football.
Yep.
Look,
Arthur Smith said he handled the last minute audition pretty well. They went out there and within a week, he went out there and he ran the offense. He threw 18 passes and he threw 418 yards and a touchdown. And the word out of Atlanta is he played well. Now we'll see, but he may have played. If he didn't play well enough to make the Atlanta roster, he certainly played well enough to be on other teams' radar.
Yeah,
I think.
But Atlanta might be the best situation because if you could be the second string behind Matt Ryan, Rosen just needs to stay on the same team for a couple years.
Yes.
And either he'll make it or he won't. But he can't keep bouncing around a different team every 6 months. That's obviously not working. All right, we come back. The 4 o'clock reset is next. The Arizona Cardinals making cuts today. They have to get down to 53 players by tomorrow afternoon. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.